Good morning. I want to welcome everyone here this morning. It's a real blessing to be alive this morning. It's a blessing to be here. If you would, you can turn in your Bibles to Jeremiah 29:11. It's kind of the theme verse that I'd like to, or a kind of a text verse to read this morning. But then you can turn to Genesis 39. You know, this is a continuation on the life of Joseph there. And I've titled the message, Joseph the Faithful Slave. Now, last time Joseph was the favored son, but today, in today's scripture, Joseph is the faithful slave. But Jeremiah 29:11, it says, God is talking to the children of Israel through Jeremiah, and he's telling them what will happen after the 70 years of captivity are up. He says, "For I know the thoughts that I think toward you, saith the Lord, thoughts of peace and not of evil, to give you an expected end." God is saying, even though you are in a time of trouble, even though things are not going well for you, even though it's hard, even though it feels like I'm gone, "I know the thoughts that I think toward you, saith the Lord, thoughts of peace and not of evil, to give you an expected end." You can turn to Genesis 39 now. Do you know, God has a purpose for every one of us. And if we think of our life, where we are right now, we're in various stages of God's purpose for us. We're in various places of that. And God knows what He wants us to become. We don't know that exactly, but God does. And thinking of the life of Joseph, when Joseph, you think of Joseph's journey from a farm out in the middle of nowhere. They had their own houses, their own village, they were kind of like a town unto themselves there, out in the country. Joseph's journey in life was to take him from the little boy with the big mouth. Remember last time he was the boy that would tattle on his brothers, or they thought he tattled. But God's purpose was to take Joseph from the little boy with the big mouth and make him the prime minister entrusted with saving the country and the world at that time. And the journey from this point over here to this point over here took him through some really low valleys, and it took him through some severe tests. And yet it's the same God that said, "I know the thoughts that I think towards you, thoughts of peace and not of evil, to give you an expected end." And you know, we are sometimes in the valley. We're down there in that valley. And we think that the end is near. But Joseph's transformation process was not glamorous or fun. And he had some successes along the way, but his successes looked like failures. And his productive life, or his useful life, appeared to have come to an end several times. And Joseph, it seems like he was someone who was attentive to detail. He was someone who was attentive to what was in front of him, and he was faithful at it. And what did he get for reward? Joseph is a man who faced discouragement, real discouragement. I don't think Joseph was a Superman at all. Joseph faced severe discouragement. And Joseph had the feeling, if he was a normal human being, which I believe he was, but he had the feeling of being misused, of being rejected and neglected and taken for granted. And he knew what it was like to be a free person and be made into a slave against his will. And I'm sure Joseph was tempted to give it up and curse God and die, like Job's wife told him to. Anyway, that's a little bit of a background on Joseph's life there. And you know, we probably all felt that same way at times. Probably felt that way and been that way. God has a plan, and I don't know what his plan involves in taking us from where we were born to where he wants us to end up. And it could be like Gideon. We could end up being used of God mightily, even though we don't feel like it. And we all have the potential to be that way if we let him. All right, let's read the story here, Genesis 39. I'm just going to read the whole chapter here. In Genesis 39, verse 1, this is about Joseph and Potiphar's wife. And Joseph was brought down to Egypt, and Potiphar, an officer of Pharaoh, captain of the guard. Notice that, he was a captain of the guard. That simply means that he was, that the word guard there is has the word butcher, which it means that he was like an executioner. He was the captain of the prison, the captain of the prison. I'm not sure that Potiphar wasn't the keeper of the prison, or he was directly in charge of the keeper of that prison. But the prison, it says in chapter 40, was in his house, which was odd, but I'm not sure if Potiphar lived at the prison or in the government complex or what, but Potiphar was the captain of the guard, and Potiphar was directly responsible for the king's prisoners, executing or releasing, whatever Pharaoh wanted him to do, that was Potiphar's job. All right, so Potiphar, he was an officer of Pharaoh, he was captain of the guard, an Egyptian. Potiphar bought Joseph at the hands of the Ishmaelites, which had brought him down there. And the Lord was with Joseph. And he was a prosperous man, and he was in the house of his master, the Egyptian. And his master saw that the Lord was with him, and that the Lord made all that he did to prosper in his hand. And Joseph found grace in his sight, and he served him, and he made him overseer over his house, and all that he had he put into his hand. And it came to pass from the time that he had made him overseer in his house, and over all that he had, that the Lord blessed the Egyptian's house for Joseph's sake. And the blessing of the Lord was upon all that he had in the house and in the field. And he left all that he had in Joseph's hand, and he knew not aught he had, save the bread which he did eat. And Joseph was a goodly person and well favored. That means he was very goodly, he was handsome. Well built, and he was handsome. And it came to pass after these things that his master's wife cast her eyes upon Joseph, and she said, "Lie with me." But he refused and said unto his master's wife, "Behold, my master wotteth not what is with me in the house. And he hath committed all that he hath to my hand. There is none greater in this house than I, neither hath he kept back anything from me but thee, because thou art his wife. How then can I do this great wickedness and sin against God?" And it came to pass, as she spake to Joseph day by day, that he hearkened not unto her to lie by her or to be with her. And it came to pass about this time that Joseph went into the house to do his business, and there was none of the men of the house there within. And she caught him by his garment, saying, "Lie with me." And he left his garment in her hand and fled and got him out. And it came to pass, when she saw that he had left his garment in her hand and was fled forth, that she called unto the men of her house and spake unto them, saying, "See, he hath brought in an Hebrew unto us to mock us. He came in unto me to lie with me, and I cried with a loud voice." And it came to pass, when he heard that I lifted up my voice and cried, that he left his garment with me and fled and got him out. And she laid up his garment by her until his Lord came home. And she spake unto him according to these words, saying, "The Hebrew servant which thou hast brought unto us came in unto me to mock me. And it came to pass, as I lifted up my voice and cried, that he left his garment with me and fled out." And it came to pass, when his master heard the words of his wife, which she spake unto him, saying, "After this manner did thy servant to me," that his wrath was kindled. And Joseph's master took him and put him into the prison, a place where the king's prisoners were bound, and he was there in the prison. But the Lord was with Joseph and showed him mercy and gave him favor in the sight of the keeper of the prison. And the keeper of the prison committed to Joseph's hand all the prisoners that were in the prison, and whatsoever they did there, he was the doer of it. The keeper of the prison looked not to anything that was under his hand, because the Lord was with him. And that which he did, the Lord made it to prosper. There's a lot of information here in this chapter, and a lot of things that could be said, and a lot of lessons that we can learn. But the thing I'd like to focus on here, or several things to focus on, is that this was a transition point. Joseph was brought fresh from Canaan on the Ishmaelite train there. Train arrived in Egypt with a lot of things to sell. And Joseph was one of the things to sell. And Potiphar happened to go down to the auction, and he saw this boy there, 17-year-old boy. And he thought, you know, I need someone, and I'll buy him. I don't know what Joseph cost there, but I'm sure the Ishmaelites didn't lose money on him. They made a fat profit, I'm sure, or made a profit on it anyway. What was Joseph to think? He got bought by the executioner, the chief executioner. There's Joseph. Now, from a free man to the slave of the executioner, that does not look good for Joseph. But Joseph says he was faithful. And so Potiphar took him home and he said, Joseph, I want you to work here and clean out this. He took him out to the barn maybe and said, hey, you clean out this part. So Joseph gets the broom. He starts sweeping, he polishes the saddles, he dusts all the places, mops the floor. Potiphar comes back and he looks and he says, wow, you know, Joseph, tomorrow I want you to mow the yard. So Joseph mows the yard and he weeds the flower beds and he goes above and beyond. It says he was faithful in what he did. And before long, several years went by, Joseph became so trusted that Potiphar gave him all the responsibility, all the management responsibility. Joseph could do anything that Potiphar could do, just about, in the house. Joseph was a manager. He could buy and sell and delegate work, and it says that Potiphar's house prospered because of Joseph. He was a good manager, and God was with him, and things just worked. And Potiphar didn't know what went on. If he didn't know what went on, that would mean that he didn't really hold Joseph to account. Joseph was the key person that made the household run. All Potiphar wanted was to be able to come home and eat his meals and leave again. And that's what he did. And Joseph was faithful in that. Joseph was faithful in Potiphar's house. He was one who did what he was told and looked for ways to be useful. You know, that's something that we all like, to be around people like that, right? So if somebody wants to come help you for a day, or you hire somebody, or you like people that come and look for ways to be useful, right? And that's what Joseph did. He was faithful in his responsibilities, and that earned him Potiphar's trust. And he had all the responsibility there with very little accountability. But he was trustworthy. The good part about Joseph is that he was trustworthy and the trust was not misplaced. Joseph was also grateful for what Potiphar had done for him. So Potiphar I believe he was grateful. That inspired loyalty there. Whether Potiphar deserved the loyalty or not, Joseph gave it to him, and he was grateful whether Potiphar had deserved it or not. But Joseph had a proper attitude towards his master. And things for Joseph were going well. You know, he had a position, and Joseph had a place in life. But Joseph was about to get tested in a spectacular way, probably a way that Joseph didn't even know was coming. And it came in the form of Potiphar's wife. You know, think of it from Joseph's point of view. Joseph was a slave. Even though he had all this responsibility, he was still a slave. And Potiphar was his master. I don't know what the legal situation in Egypt was at that time. I believe that the Wives Act had authority as well, but I'm not for sure on that. But just because of her being Potiphar's wife, she would have been a master to Joseph also. So Joseph, his loyalty was to his master. So now, and he's very faithful, a very faithful person. But he also serves God, and he recognizes that God is a master as well. Now Potiphar's wife began to notice Joseph and wanted a romantic relationship with him. And it was more of a campaign than just a question, because it went on day after day after day. And Joseph was a normal man, and Joseph was someone who was a man of integrity, but he was being tested. There was, I'm going to say, four ways that Joseph was tested here. One, his loyalty was tested. And integrity, or let me just say that trust is made up of several of these components. Job preached on trust here a while back, but I'm not expanding on that so much. But trust, loyalty, integrity, and morality, or morals, are elements of trust. And Joseph was faithful in all of these up to this point. But he was being tested. So his loyalty, when Potiphar's wife was working this campaign on him, his loyalty was tested. Who would he be loyal to? His master's wife had some authority over him. But Potiphar had authority. That's who really owned him. And God had authority. And Joseph was conflicted here with what he knew Potiphar wanted. It doesn't say that Joseph went to Potiphar and said, "Potiphar, here's this problem, what shall I do about it?" He didn't say that we know of. But he already knew what God wanted him to do. So he put God's law first, and he put his master's loyalty next, and they were both contrary to the authority that he was getting from, or the command he was getting from Potiphar's wife. And so he told her, he said, "My master has kept, or has given me everything in the house except you, because you are his wife." And he said, "How can I do this evil against my master and sin against God?" That was Joseph's answer to her command. But Joseph knew that he could be forfeiting his privilege. Joseph also I'm sure had a good imagination and was a head away. If he wanted to, could have made so his master would have never found out. Or he could have made he would have had a good chance of making so his master would have never found out, Potiphar. Because he was not accountable to much of anything, and Potiphar would maybe have never found out, but God would have known. And his loyalty was to God first, and then Potiphar. But his loyalty was tested, and he passed on his loyalty to God and his loyalty to Potiphar. Integrity was another thing. Potiphar had placed trust in Joseph. Joseph, I want you to run my house. Joseph, I trust you. And so on this integrity, he had the authority to make decisions and to manage the household, and he could have worked things around so many different ways with his authority that he could have actually pleased Potiphar's wife and hidden it from Potiphar. But he couldn't have hidden it from God. So his integrity had to run through the loyalty test. Loyalty to God, loyalty to Potiphar, Potiphar's wife, it's not going to work. He can't please everyone. His integrity stayed intact. The morality part, the moral part, he recognized that adultery was sin. He recognized it as a sin. And so he couldn't yield to Potiphar's wife's request because of adultery against God, against Potiphar and against himself. It was a sin against God, against Potiphar, against himself. And also there was a test of endurance. You know how it went on for days, weeks, I don't know how long, but day after day it says. And it came to a point where Joseph he tried to work things around where he wasn't by himself there. But one day he couldn't work it out, and Joseph was in the same room as Potiphar's wife, and she decided to force things to come to a decision, and she grabbed a hold of his coat. I don't know what it is about Joseph and coats, but he tends to get into trouble with his coats. But now she grabbed a hold of the coat. And Joseph said, well, you can have the coat, but you can't have me. So he disappears, and she's left with the coat. And now, out of all Joseph's loyalty, integrity, his endurance, and his faithfulness, guess what he's rewarded with? All of a sudden, she turns this whole thing around and makes it look like he is the bad person. And he came sneaking in here, and she screamed, and anyway, so she called people in there so she'd have witnesses, and said, Joseph was coming in here to attack me. Anyway, when Potiphar heard that, it says his anger was kindled. We assume it was kindled at Joseph, but we're not 100% sure who it was all kindled at. The thing that I thought was interesting, and you can check me if I'm wrong here, and I'd love to hear your thoughts on this. But Potiphar was the captain of the guard. And Potiphar, because of being captain of the guard, he was the keeper of he was the captain of the prison that Joseph was put into. Potiphar, it seems like Potiphar put Joseph in Potiphar's work environment and away from his wife. And left him. He wasn't necessarily locked up in a cell, but he was locked up in this prison. He couldn't get out of the prison, but he seemed to be able to have free rein. And I'm wondering if the keeper of the prison wasn't Potiphar himself. And I'm not for sure on that, but I'd love to hear your thoughts. Because he still trusted that the keeper of the prison, the captain of the guard, it says, in Genesis 40. The captain of the guard gave Joseph the trust of the butler and the baker, and we'll get to that another time. But Joseph was in this prison. And Joseph had the trust of the prison, of the keeper of the prison. I don't think Potiphar was too mad at Joseph for too long, but I don't think he trusted his wife real far, and he removed Joseph out of that. But at any rate, Joseph ended up out of the house and in the prison. Joseph was still a slave. He went from being a slave to being a prisoner. And now, that's the story of Joseph in Joseph's slave. But I'd like to take that and make that into our life. We are on a journey. We are all on a journey. And we were all born. And we came when we made a commitment to Christ. We gave our life to Christ. We voluntarily became a slave, right? We became a servant of God. A slave, servant, whatever. And we are children of God. God has adopted us. We give ourselves to God, but He's also adopted us. And now we serve our Master. We serve God. We are grateful. We're thankful to God for what He has done for us. We serve Him. We serve God. And yet, the devil comes along. We have these temptations. We have our own Potiphar's wives in our life, if you would, that day by day come after us. And we are tested in the same way that Joseph was, in the tests of loyalty, integrity, morality, and endurance. We're tested there. And yet, too often we forget to be grateful for what God has done for us and to remember that God is watching us, even when nobody else is watching. But God has done very much like Potiphar did in saying, in giving us liberty to do, to act however we want to. He's given us the freedom. God has not put chains on us and said, "All right, Jason, you can stay in this box right here, right? In this little area, this is where you need to stay. And if you go out of that, then you just can't go out of that." No, God leaves it up to me. And yet, He's watching. He's watching. And Satan comes along, kind of like Potiphar's wife, and puts out tests to turn that loyalty, to taint, to twist that integrity, to corrupt the morality, and to kill the endurance. All of us face Potiphar's wives, I mean, in quotations. We all face them. How do we handle them? Are we faithful to God, even if it looks hopeless to do so? You know, Joseph was far from home, and he was far from any friends, and he was all by himself, and the home that he had, the security that he had, was torn apart because of Potiphar's wife upending everything. So Joseph could have been extremely bitter at Potiphar's wife for killing his security. And he probably was tempted that way. Are we faithful to God even if it looks hopeless? Are we true and sound through testing? Testing. And when I say true and sound through testing, sometimes it might be easy to say, to just yield to sin and then say sorry afterwards, right? Sometimes I know some people that do that. And God's grace is sufficient, but that's not Christian victory. Who knows what God has in store for you? You know, the path to greatness and usefulness is not glamorous or easy. And greatness, whatever that is not glamorous or easy either. But we are slaves or servants to the Most High God. We are bought with His precious blood. And in 1 Corinthians it says, glorify God in your spirit and in your body, which are God's. There are many ways that we can develop our loyalty to God. And I guess we can be like Joseph and just be faithful in what we're doing. Just serve God where we are right now and look for ways to expand that a little bit. And God blesses the heart that seeks after Him. That works for Him. God blesses that. Now, Joseph, as the faithful slave, was faithful even though he was a slave. And it wasn't a voluntary thing for Joseph, and yet he was still faithful. We have made ourselves servants voluntarily, and yet we struggle sometimes to be faithful. So that's an area of growth for us. When we are tested, what's the first thing that comes into our minds? Who's going to find out? Or what does God think? You know, I don't know what all went through Joseph's mind. I don't think he spent a lot of time thinking about how to get around the restrictions that were placed on him. In James, it says that lust bringeth forth sin. Lust bringeth forth sin, and sin bringeth forth death. Lust when it hath conceived bringeth forth sin, and sin when it is finished bringeth forth death. And we have a bulldog that our neighbor, or we don't have it, but our neighbors have a bulldog that sins against us periodically. And it sins in the way of coming up on our porch in the night and tearing up trash bags. And I guess, I don't know what goes through a bulldog's mind, but it's definitely not loyal to us, or it has no integrity whatsoever. But it thinks there's food in the trash bag, I guess. I don't know what it thinks, but it does a good job of tearing the trash bag up and scattering the trash around. I think it thinks there's food there. And so it gets in there and then it discovers that it's just a pizza box or a steak wrapper or hamburger wrapper or something. And there's no food value there. And it has to be a little disheartening for this thing to not have what it's looking for. And Satan is the same way. He promises visions of good things. And so we tear them to the bag and make a big mess, and there's no joy. Just a pizza box that's 6 days old or whatever. Well, in our house, it'd just be one day old. But still, there's no pizza there. It's just a pizza box. Satan does the same thing. So this week, may God bless each one of you on your journey from where you were born to where God is taking you. I don't know where that is and what God has in store for you, but God has a plan for all of you. And God has he has got you on a journey somewhere. And oftentimes, where he wants to take you takes you through some fairly severe places. But be faithful. When you're tempted with a Potiphar's wife scenario the devil throws at you, ask first, how can I do this great wickedness and sin against God? Let's stand for prayer.